Hi, this is David Orlovsky here for URA. And it's a tremendous opportunity for me to speak a little bit about the organization and about the concept of Kiruv Rechokim in general, because I think this is one of the best-kept secrets, really, in Klal Yisrael today. You know, I speak to people about URA. I said, you know, you've heard of URA? And they said, oh, yeah, the people make the Chinese auction, you know. Believe it or not, that's not the main thing they do. Most people don't even know this. So I want to speak just for a minute about Kiruv Rechokim, just so that we have a little perspective of what we're talking about. Because one of the banes of our society today is that we have this concept that Kiruv Rechokim is something that we do for them. Very much the us and them approach to life. I'm going to do something to help these poor lost souls, etc. General George Patton once said, I'm not looking for men who die for their country. You don't win wars by dying for your country. You win wars by making the other guy die for his country. And I've always felt very strongly that self-interest is a very powerful motivator for people. I want to know at the end of the day, not how I'm going to go out and help this poor person, but what's in it for me? What helps to make me something special? So when you think in these terms, I figure, you know, going in with a little bit of a Purim theme, put it in the days around where we are today. There's a fascinating Shlach Kaddish that says that Yom Kippurim is a Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur is a day like Purim, which means that on Yom Kippur, when we are dressed in white, holding our grandfather's machzor, standing in shul, fasting like a malach, we can almost reach the level of people who are stumbling around drunk on Purim. I don't know how many of you have seen a Purim lately. It really makes you wonder what this has to do with any religion whatsoever, at least a monotheistic one. You know, and you look at what goes on Purim, and on Purim, we say, wow, on Yom Kippur, you can almost reach this level. So there's obviously something going on beneath the scenes that we need to understand. So we know that Yom Kippur and Purim have something in common. They are both days of Kabbalah Satayra. Shavuos is, of course, the holiday of Kabbalah Satayra. Yom Kippur is when we actually got the Torah that we have today, because the one that we were supposed to get on Shavuos was broken. And then on Purim, there's another level of Kabbalah Satayra. Kimu v'kiblu. We re-accepted the Torah on a higher level. So obviously, there's something going on. There's a relationship here. Something. What happened on Purim that changed things around so dramatically? So Chaim Shmulevitz says the following, and it's a powerful idea for us to understand in general. The Or Chaim HaKadosh, learning the psukim in Shmos, points out that there are three prerequisites for Kabbalah Satayra. There's three things that you need. I'm not going to deal with two of them now. I'm going to deal with one of them. And one of them, Rashi also brings down, and that is Achdus. V'yachanu b'midbar, plural, and then v'yichan sham, ki'ish achad b'lev achad. We came together like one people. Says the Or Chaim HaKadosh, that is a prerequisite for receiving the Torah. Which means that if Achdus is going to allow me to accept the Torah, then greater Achdus is going to allow me to accept more Torah. So let's contrast what happened vis-a-vis the Kabbalah Satayra. V'yisum refidim, we left refidim, raf yodayim, machloikes, fighting, difficulty. We were fighting and we stopped fighting. We left that. And then we became one people. We became one people through the fact that we stopped fighting. And that's definitely one powerful level of achdus. Halavai. Today we can reach a level of achdus because nobody's fighting. But that's not an interactive type of an achdus. An interactive achdus is you and I are all gonna, you, I, our families, everybody, all of Klai Yisrael are going to get killed tomorrow. There's nothing that brings people together like knowing we're all going to get killed tomorrow. You're getting killed tomorrow? Me too. You can go first. You know, everybody's coming together. There's something, wow, we're in this together. Gentlemen, we shall surely hang together or we shall hang separately. There's a special achdus. There's a, not just, I'm not fighting with you, I need you. I desperately need you. I'm depending on you. That was Purim. That's a whole different type of achdus. What happens on Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur, we don't fight. We don't, chas v'shalom, fight on Yom Kippur. There's that beautiful minig before Yom Kippur, where people with a contrite heart and a broken spirit go and turn to people to beg them forgiveness for any slight that I may have committed. Yumaychomi. Well, I'm not sure. Yumaychomi. Well, what are we talking about? Yumaychomi. I don't know what you're talking about. I asked you three times. Did you have Vera? It's beautiful. You know? So, beautiful. We're not fighting. You, nobody would go to shul and fight unless someone took my seat. Then I can kill them. But fight? No one's going to fight on Yom Kippur. Yeah? That's nice. But that's not Purim. Purim, we take it further. Purim, there's shalach manas. What's pshat shalach manas? Shalach manas is... Shalach manas is an important concept here. I just want to speak for a moment about shalach manas. Shalach manas is something that teaches you that you should develop classy friends because you're going to give them what you like and they're going to give you what they like. So I have these one friends, they make roast beef. We've worked hard to maintain this relationship over the years because that's what you want to get for shalach manas. You don't want another bag of bizzly, you know what I mean? You want somebody who really appreciates what it's supposed to be. You know, but you know, sometimes, you know, you make up these shalach manas and you send them out and you get others back and you realize that the one that you really wanted was yours. You know? That's because at the end of the day, we like what we like. Everybody likes what they like. Come shalach manas and we say, no, 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 don't eat what you like, eat what I like. I don't want you to enjoy your own stuff. There's no trick to that. I want you to enjoy my stuff. Can you appreciate what I appreciate? You like what I like? Yeah, Gemara and Ksuvis. Ketzer Meraktin Lifnei HaKala. How do we dance before the Kala? Says Rashi, what do we say when we dance before the Kala? Right? Beis Shammai says, Kala Kemoshei. Tell it like it is. Wow. That would make for such more interesting chasanas. Use your imagination here. Sometimes I fill it in, but I figure this is going public. I don't know where this is going to end up. I don't want to get myself into more trouble than I do already. But you can say what you could possibly say when you go to some of these weddings, you know? Oh, what was he thinking? Obviously, this guy has been drinking. Anyway, I don't want to go into it. You can work this out for yourself. The point is, yeah, we don't pass like Beishamai. We pass like Beisil. Beisil, Amir, Kala Noe Vechasuda. A beautiful and a gracious bride. Beishamai says, listen, sometimes she ain't so beautiful. She ain't so gracious. And he says, when somebody buys something nice in the shuk, what should you tell them? It's stupid, it's ugly, or it's nice? You should tell them it's nice. That's pshat, kala noe v'chasuda. You don't have to live with her, he does. He thinks she's beautiful. He thinks she's wonderful. Can you appreciate what I appreciate? I think this is delicious. Think twice before you make friends with vegetarians, by the way. But my point is, you get something and you're like, okay, give me an opportunity to understand what you like. You may not be the kind of person to put eggs in your challah. Okay, I can respect that. You know, you might not put, you know, cups of sugar into everything that you eat. I can understand that too, you know. Everybody has different things that they like. Tam v'reach, we say in Israel, you know, it comes to taste. Ein matvekeach, there's nothing to fight about. Yeah, I like this, you like that. But that's not the trick. Can you like what I like? I don't want you just not to fight with me. I want you to appreciate me. I want you to appreciate what I appreciate, a sharing and a caring and interaction. When you can create an interaction, that's a different level of achdus. On Yom Kippur, we reach a certain level, but there's more achdus on Purim, so there's more Kabbalah Satorah, and things are stronger. I want you to appreciate the implications of this idea. That means that if there are 100 guys in the Beis Medrash and 50 of them are learning and 50 of them are not learning, you'll get a certain amount of Torah. But if all 100 guys are learning, you're going to get a higher level of Torah because more of them are working at it. So the Kabbalah HaTorah that we as an Am experience is greater. I'm not talking about what you do for the next guy. I'm talking about what you do for yourself. In the brachas and the klalos and pasuk b'chul kosai, when it's going through the brachas, so the pasuk says, "V'rod v'mikem chamisha meya umer mikem revava yudafu v'navlo aveichem v'neichem b'charev." Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. So Rashi works this out. If five of you are chasing 100, that means each one is chasing 20 of the enemy. Each person has the power to chase 20 of the enemy. If 100 chase 10,000, then each one is chasing 100 of the enemies. Which means to say that either I'm chasing 100 or I'm chasing 20, dramatically different. Says Rashi, because when you have five chasing 100, you have a small group of Klal Yisrael. When 100 is chasing 10,000, says Rashi, "Eino daima merubin ha'isin satari lemutin satari." You can't compare to when a majority of Klal Yisrael is keeping the Torah to when a minority. That means that I have 20% of my capacity compared to 100%. I wondered why Rashi uses these numbers. I mean, obviously the pasuk is using these numbers. If 100 is chasing 10,000 means that each person is chasing 100, I would say chasing 100 is 100% capacity. If five, at a minimum, are chasing 100, each one's chasing 20, what does that mean? 100 drops down to 20. Why doesn't it drop down to 10 or to 5 or to 1? There's a minimum amount of Klal Yisrael that will always remain. 20%. Right? Chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, we came out, says Rashi, 1/5. Says the Gemara, and so it'll be Yimus Mashiach. 20% is the minimum amount. We're not going to fall less than that. But you could be 30%. You could be 50%. You, as an individual, in your power, can be greater if more of Klal Yisrael is doing what they're doing. Don't do it for them. Do it for us. The question is, how great can you be? Don't tell me how great I can help somebody else. You poor lost soul. Let me teach you how to do a mitzvah because I feel so bad for you. The Yerushalmi says that Klal Yisrael is one organism. If your right hand is cutting a piece of meat and cuts your left hand doesn't grab the knife and cut your right hand back. Because we sense that we are one organism, or as we say in Hebrew, organism. Slowly I'm learning Hebrew. I've been living in Israel for 23 years. I'm getting there. It's basically just becoming English with a bad accent. I said this to an Israeli. I said, "What's the point? Why do you even bother with the language anymore? Just make it English. There's no hope." He says, "Ani optimisti." But the point is that, we're one organism. Klal Yisrael is... the heart cell doesn't say, "I don't care about the cheek cell," although the cheek cell may not be as important. But you need the brain and you need the heart. When I was in biology, they wanted to show you a cell. They would swab the inside of your cheek and put it on a little disc for you to look at a cell. They don't do that with your brain cells because presumably your cheek cells are less important. But if you didn't have cheeks, you ate and all the food fell out, you wouldn't be able to pinch anybody. Well, it would be terrible. You need your cheeks. They may not be as important as your brain cells or your heart cells. But every part of your body is essential and you want everything functioning. All of Klal Yisrael is one whole. If you let it slip away, ultimately we're the ones who lose, not somebody else. I'll tell you the truth. I learned about Ura today. Until now, I was pretty sure all they do is make a Chinese auction. I know last year I made it in the video. I heard this from a lot of people. It was very, very impressive. That's the only reason I'm here this year. I think if they already put me into, made me a cartoon character, then I already deserve to, you know, to make my way into the video and live. But the amazing thing is that there are thousands of families who nobody is reaching, and Ura goes after these families. They're not part of a community. We're not getting them from a school, and we're not getting them from a shul, and there's just families. And how did Ura start? Knocking on doors. Hi, I see you have an electric menorah in your window. Would you like to find out a bit more about what it means to be a Jew? They started summer camps. Take kids away for the summer. Send them to yeshiva. They don't have the money, we'll pay the tuition. We'll get you in. We'll provide for your families. There's a sense that we need each other. That's the secret to the geula. There's a sense that we need each other. Everyone knows the famous story. The head of Starbucks sent out an email where he came to Israel with a group of business leaders to meet with Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel. And Reb Nosson Tzvi said, what's the lesson of the Holocaust? This is how he himself writes the email about how, what he experienced, what Reb Nosson Tzvi said to these business leaders. He said, what we learned from the Holocaust was that five people slept on a bench, on a board, a wooden board with one blanket. There's only one way that you can sleep with one blanket, and that's if you keep making sure the other person's covered. You have to make sure and share the blanket. And he said to these wealthy people, this is how he writes it, the head of Starbucks, he writes it himself. He says, you're going back to America, share your blanket. I heard from his guy by the end of the story. This fellow came back a second time and he gave lessons for your blank check. And he said, fill it out for whatever you want. The Mir has a $2 million a month budget. And Reb Nosson Tzvi said, whatever I want? He says, yeah. And he filled out the check for $1,200. He says, here. He says, what's this? He says, across the street is a sefer. Go there and buy yourself a pair of tefillin and put it on every day. That's what you could do for me. Because Reb Nosson Tzvi realized there's only one purpose of being here. Share the blanket. I'm not just worried about your money. I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you. Do you care about every person? You know, it's easy to care about the people who are easy to care for. What do you do about the people who are not so easy to care for? You ever meet those kids who, they just know how to rub people the wrong way? I was a kid. He had trouble with his interpersonal relationship skills. He had to keep changing schools because kids were picking on him. And he comes to an Ura camp, and people cared about him. And like I say, this is not one of those easy kids. You know, this is one of those kids who got bullied because, you know, he knew how to rub people the wrong way. And he changed his whole life because somebody cared. You know, there was a girl who said, I spent a summer in Ura. I don't want to tell you what I learned Jewishly. I'll tell you what I learned. I'll tell you what I learned that Torah was able to give across. I never saw so many people smile. I saw people smile. And she went back and she started a campaign, Give a Smile, to raise money for people with cleft palates to help kids have an operation. I don't know how much that is, but she raised enough money, this kid, to be able to help two kids have these operations. Help them get back their smile. We live in a very sad world. The world's a sad place. When you can make somebody smile, when you can bring people to the point where they say, wow, isn't being Jewish something wonderful? Isn't Torah something delightful? Isn't it something that should make us smile from ear to ear, to fill us with happiness and simcha and achdus, and the closer we come together because we're sharing that blanket, because we care about each other, then the more Torah we'll get, and the greater we'll be as individuals, and the more Yiras Shamayim, and the more that Klal Yisrael grows. Did you ever have to sleep where you had to share a blanket with someone? You know how most of the time it's a tug of war? Each one's trying to get it until someone gets it underneath them and then rolls. You know what I mean? And that's it, forget about it. And if all I can care about is you getting your part of the blanket. Say the Chazal, the door of Yehuda Bar Eloi was so poor that they could have brought Mashiach, even though they were so poor. How poor were they? Five people slept with one blanket. That's the secret. We all have something to share. A kind word, a smile, a shalom aleichem, an invitation for a Shabbos meal. And if we don't have that opportunity, then we have the opportunity of supporting people who are doing it. Someone who is willing to go and knock on their doors and say, I want you to send your kid to yeshiva. Don't worry, we'll pay the tuition. We'll help you out. Maybe we're in a position to help the people who are helping the people. Because at the end of the day, there's no question that the life that we save is our own. There's no question that we as Klal Yisrael are in a very difficult situation, and one that we cannot afford to let continue the way it is. And if every one of us can care a little bit more and share that smile and share our blanket and share what we have, then Amir Tashem, Klal Yisrael can once again be able to celebrate, to be able to laugh. Says the Gemara, since the Churban, we don't laugh, we don't cry. There's just nothing. Imagine if we could open up the wellsprings of laughter and happiness and love and make Klal Yisrael the Klal Yisrael that it's supposed to be. Thank you very much.